and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared. I will be your host for the episode. It is an honor, and I am grateful that you have joined me at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at classic and gateway games that I'm thankful for. Ian's out this week due to some scheduling conflicts. No big deal, though. I'm happy to hold down the fort, and you, the wonderful listener, are stuck with me. Well, unless you stop the episode. Please don't do that. I hope that you enjoy the discussion with myself. All right, let's do it. All right, well, happy Thanksgiving to my fellow Americans. Happy belated Thanksgiving to my cousin Canadians to the north. And happy Thanksgiving to those of you celebrating all around the world. As I found out recently that there are several countries, in fact, that celebrate some form of Thanksgiving. I don't know what you all do for Thanksgiving weekend. I have a full weekend ahead of me. Thursday, we go over to Anna's parents' house. They have a lot of people that they invite over, probably somewhere between 25 and 30 people. And it is a big time of thankfulness and games and food and people and football and all kinds of good stuff. It's a big party. And then on Friday, I have almost the antithesis of that because, no, that's not true. I have the antithesis of the big party part where it goes from this 25 to 30 person party to my family, my mom, and my brother. And it's super chill. And let me tell you, I am so thankful for Friday and getting to do Thanksgiving again. One, because my mom's food is better. So there's round two to look forward to for that. But more importantly, it is so good to be able to unwind and have a chill atmosphere after having a major fun party on Thursday. So it's going to be a big weekend. Looking forward to it. I know that everyone's got different Thanksgiving plans. If you don't have family in town, I do hope that you can find a friend or someone that you can enjoy the day or the weekend with. And for those of you that are driving home to be with family, I do hope that you have safe travels and a wonderful time together. Remember, have fun, play games, enjoy the turkey. Or ham, you know, whatever you're into. Unless you're vegetarian. I don't really know. What do vegetarians do on Thanksgiving? I imagine, I actually should know this. Anna's aunt is vegetarian. I don't know. We have a lot of food, so it's hard to keep up with who eats what. All right, anyways, I'm rambling. Ian, if you're listening, miss you, buddy. I'll try to get through this without you. So we're going to kind of dive right into this discussion. To make sure we're all on the same page, the term classic games will refer to games such as Scrabble, Monopoly, Clue, Life, Skip-Bo. I won't mention, well, I guess I will, Phase 10. I hate that game, you guys. Phase 10 is awful. If you like Phase 10, I'm sorry. It's trash. Those kinds of games. You'll find them at Target and Walmart and every other big box store. Very easy to find. And then, of course, the term gateway games refers to games that do a good job of introducing people to the hobby without being overly complex. But they do excel at teaching a particular mechanic. Good example of that would be Dominion, which teaches all about deck building. So it'd be either teaching a mechanic or a group of mechanics or a style of play that is regularly seen in the gaming hobby. I would say that gateway games do fit a similar spot that we've often referred to as family weight games. But of course, family weight games don't necessarily have to introduce a particular mechanic or thing like that that I mentioned a second ago. So that would be the main differentiator for me. I will also caveat that, yes, I know this is not an exhaustive list. Yes, there's a real chance that I have left your game, your gateway game of choice, off of this list, and of which I do apologize. Even more so, I would love your thoughts. I would love what you think are some of your favorite gateway games and even some classic games. I'm going to throw a couple classic games out there, and one of them is going to blow your mind. But I did want to hear your thoughts, because I'm always interested in hearing people's stories from the gaming hobby. And I have a long list here of games that I could talk about tonight. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them or not. We'll keep an eye on the time and just kind of see. But I wanted to try and add a story to, or at least a small little thing to each of the games that I bring up tonight, because it's just so cool to see that part of the hobby come alive. It's not just about figuring out the puzzle. It's the way you engage with the players around the table, and it's being able to laugh or compete or make fun of one another or be really cool and zen and chill or whatever it may be. Shut up, Power Rangers. I'm trying to do a podcast right now. It's all about that coming together around the table. And so I would love, whether it's in our Discord, over social media, on our Instagram, or just sending us a message either through email or Board Game Geek, I would love to hear your stories. So please, whether it's referring to this episode or just games in general, tell us about it, because I want to hear it. Whether it's board gaming, card gaming, D&D, whatever it may be, I know y'all have some good stories and I'd love to hear about it. All right, well, without further ado, I've done all the caveats. Let's wander down my memory lane. All right, so to start, I have a few classic games that I want to mention. First up, I would be a terrible son if I did not mention the card game Canasta. My dad loved Canasta. He always wanted to play it all the time. It was the card game of choice when we were growing up, when we'd go see family. As adults, when we would come over, dad would want to play Canasta. It's a love of his, which is so funny because in very much my dad's way, he loved to moan and complain throughout the game because he wouldn't get the cards that he needed to, which is, you know, you're working with basic playing card decks, so that's going to happen. As far as an actual game is concerned, Canasta is all about set collection, and it really, a lot of times, comes down to card draw, but there is a little bit of choice and strategy. I always enjoyed playing because I liked being with him and with other family members around the table. It got really intense sometimes. I don't know that I've had a game that wasn't really that much of a game that I've gotten so intense over before, but definitely remember lots of different memories at the table and loved being able to play that with dad and my brother and my wife or mom. My cousin Jessica and her husband Jason and lots of other people. We introduced it to a lot of people, had a great time with it. It was a lot of fun. And we still play it from time to time. Like when my brother and Anna and I go to see my mom, we'll pull it out and it's still a good time. So yeah, definitely enjoy that one for sure. Next up, I'm going to call this a classic game because of when it came out and how it came out and where it was sold. But this is definitely a gamer's game at heart. But I am so thankful for HeroScape. Before I even knew what the board gaming hobby could be, when I was just a little kid and I mostly focused on video games and sports and things like that, there was this gamer game of HeroScape that I played and I had a blast with it. And having that introduction, even though it fell off and we stopped playing it at some point and focused more on video games, having that time both as a kid and then coming back to it as an adult I'm just so thankful for that. It introduced me to what I didn't even know at the time was that it introduced me to miniatures games. It introduced me to this 1v1 combat and something other than a trading card game. And it was so cool. You had these painted minis and all this terrain, and it did so many cool things. Obviously, it is coming back now by Renegade, and so they're going to pump it out, and it is going to be a gamer's game. It will no longer fit in that classic game category. But from my experience, it definitely sat on the shelf next to all those other classic games, and I remember just having a blast playing it. I'm going to mention one more classic game, and I ask for patience. There is a reason for this. I know that everyone will riot when they hear this. I'm thankful for the classic game of Monopoly. I know. Every gamer that's in the gaming hobby just cringed, maybe drove off the road into an accident, in which I'm sorry. They might have ripped off their clothes in anger. I don't know. Like, I can only imagine the vitriol of what I just caused. But I will say this. When I was in elementary school, I had to play Monopoly in a class. It was for learning economics. And I don't remember why this was the thing we were doing. I don't know. I was in public school. I was really young. But I remember playing, and I think it might have been the first time I played a real board game. I had played like checkers. I don't want to take anything away from checkers. But really outside of that, I hadn't really played any board games. And I wanted to win so bad. And I remember I got absolutely clapped in that game. It wasn't even close. And I remember sitting back as the first one eliminated, holding back tears because of the frustration and the desire to win that wasn't going to come through that game. You're thinking, Jared, why are you thankful for this? I don't know. Like, that memory has always stuck with me, and it's added to so many things that have driven a competitive spirit in me. Now, that competitive spirit had to go through waves of healthy and unhealthy. But I think, especially now that I've settled into a good place of balancing people, competitiveness, and how that all mixes together, I'm really thankful for moments in sports, in that Monopoly game, things like that, that really drove me to be competitive. Because one of the things that I really love about me is how driven and how persistent I am. And every little bit that fed into that is something that I'm thankful for. So I did want to throw Monopoly in there. I understand. I'm sorry for the pain that I caused you for the last 2 minutes, but we can move on. All right. So there's lots of other classic games that I could mention, but those are the ones that really stood out to me. And I want to kind of move into some of the gateway games that were big for me. And some of these are still really big nowadays. And I would still recommend as gateway games if I was introducing new people to the hobby. In fact, I do introduce new people to the hobby. So I use these and other games like these as tools to show people, hey, there's this whole world that you could jump into, and here's the appetizer. I think these games definitely have their place. And they are, for someone who's been in the hobby for a long time, some of them can feel dated, but I still think that they have absolute high quality all over them and can be useful as you show people the hobby, or if you're getting into the hobby yourself. So with that said, first up on the list, and I will say for this list, this part of the list, I more or less have them listed based on when they were exposed to me. There's no priority here. They're just a bunch of games that I would recommend that I'm very thankful for that have come through my life and played a pivotal part in it. So first up is Settlers of Catan. I would not have this podcast. I would not have a shelf of 200 games. I would not have a lot of things in this hobby if not for Settlers of Catan. It was the game that got me into the hobby. As I've mentioned before, Josh Taylor showed me this game, my oldest and very good friend. And I still remember sitting at his parents' kitchen table in the middle of a party where he and I and Benj, my other friend, played. I built this longest road right down the middle of the map and ended up winning this close victory and just fell in love. It was really helpful that I was already looking for something that Anna and I could get into together as a hobby, and knowing that video games weren't going to work, this was just such an awesome segue to try. As I went home and kind of did some research and was exposed to this whole world of games that was starting to blow up, it's just so cool. I don't play Catan much anymore, I remember we played a game probably about a year ago. We played a big six-person game. I really enjoyed it. It's, you know, it is what it is nowadays. Like, I think there's a lot of games that do it better, but I still think it's great, especially for newer players. I would highly recommend it. Next up, a game that we still play often, a game that I think still sits as Anna's favorite game, but I could be wrong. It has sat as her favorite game for a very long time, and that is the Ticket to Ride series. If you've been to my house, you see the stack of, I think, a dozen Ticket to Ride boxes that we have. There's multiple maps, multiple different ways to play, and we love playing this game, whether it's a two-player, three-player, four-player, five-player, or even six-player if you're playing on the Asia map, which is my personal favorite. Obviously, the thing that I'm most thankful for in this is that we have found the game that brings Anna the most joy. I am also thankful for the very streamlined mechanics that have held up for over, I think we're coming up on 20 years on this game, and it is still something that holds strong, and I still very much enjoy playing all the time. One of the things that I really enjoy about introducing people to the hobby is when I can relate what we're doing back to something they understand. Everybody knows Yahtzee. So when I explain King of Tokyo and I start with, it's like Yahtzee, but with monsters, I've instantly got people hooked. And I have just been so thankful for the way that this has grabbed so many different people over the years. It looks cool on the table. It's usually pretty quick unless you're playing at really high counts and you get a bunch of bad rolls. It has brought so much laughter and frustration. And one of the things that it did as an introductory thing is my friend Christian Brummett started showing me unique combos that you can put together. I really wasn't looking for that in games, but up to this point, I was always looking for the most straightforward approach, the way to get there as quickly as possible. And he showed me some unique ways of looking at the different power-up cards and the way that you can combine them and put them together. It was always really cool to see the different builds that he could come up with. So I'm really thankful for the many epic battles in King of Tokyo. Comment that I get often is, oh, you play board games? You mean those things that take like 4 or 5 hours? Because everyone that doesn't know the hobby thinks about Monopoly and Risk, right? And the grind that it takes to win those games, or even just play out those games. So I always love it when I am able to get my hands on a good, quick 15-minute game that has a lot of substance, but doesn't overstay its welcome. And I can say, hey, no, just sit down. Let's try this 15-minute game. If you don't like it, you don't have to play again, but just humor me for a minute. And being given that opportunity to just have a few minutes to be like, all right, I'm just going to show you a quick card game or a quick board game. Let me know what you think. One of the first ones that did this for me, and it has stuck around. I've held onto my copy over a decade. I mean, there have been so many games. That's an interesting thing that I didn't think about until just now. There are so many games on this list that have come and gone. They came, they had their spot on the shelf, and then eventually they got cycled out for something else. I'm just not a sentimental person. And so for me, I would rather move the game along to somebody else who will enjoy it so that I can get a new game. I'm much more interested in doing that. But this game has held up and has stayed on the shelf. I've never even considered getting rid of it. It's For Sale. I love For Sale. For Sale is a quick 15-minute card game that plays in two phases where it's all about, first, you're trying to buy up property, and then in the second half, you're going to sell off that property and see how much your investment made. It's boiled down to the most simplistic of operations and the most simplistic of the theme itself, but it is great. Everyone gets really into it really quick. The decision and different ways of approaching the game are always fascinating to me to watch as people try to figure out how to approach the game. They're always like, all right, one more time. And that's when I know that it was a rousing success. Anytime somebody says, all right, just one more timer, man, I'd really like to play that again. I really think that's, you got to enjoy that moment. I mean, just think about it. Like, you just showed them a great experience, and that's just such a good feeling. The next thing that I'm really thankful for is Pandemic. So we play all kinds of competitive games. I grew up playing competitive games. I grew up playing sports. I loved playing hockey, loved to compete. I played a lot of Halo on the Xbox growing up, was really good at it. I really enjoyed that. Loved playing with the team, but also competing at somebody else. Guys, I cried over Monopoly in first grade or whatever grade it was. Like, I'm just a competitive person. I like to win. I like to work hard at it. But I also like the idea of all of us coming together to overcome a challenge. And so being introduced to cooperative games for the first time was such a cool and unique experience. And so we broke out Pandemic and we started playing. And I remember the first few games, we won like really easily. And we started to be like, man, is this game too easy? But then as we played more and more, as we kind of moved into like harder difficulties and played different versions and all of that, it was just such a fun experience. It got really tight and we started being much more careful about our movement and finding out different strategies to be even more efficient, and just felt like we were getting better at as a team and better at beating the game. I like so many co-op games. I don't need to come back to Pandemic because there's so many others that I enjoy more that give me more than Pandemic does. But I will say one of my favorite board gaming experiences was born out of Pandemic when we played Pandemic Legacy Season 1. Anna and I played that together, and it was just such a blast. And then we played it again with another couple, and that was a blast as well. I'm not going to give any spoilers on that. I would highly recommend, even if you've never played Pandemic, I mean, you can try Pandemic if that's something that, you know, if you're new to the hobby, whatever, I would recommend that. But if you're in the hobby and you've not tried out Pandemic Legacy Season 1, please do yourself a favor and give it a try, because it's just such a cool experience. And I'm really happy that we got to go through that. I'm really thankful for Pandemic. It really challenged us in different ways. And again, it birthed this whole genre of co-op games, which I'm very thankful for. Next up, I have used these types of games in so many different settings. It's a great group game. I loved using it when I was a youth pastor. I loved using it in specific nights just for this. It was great at the end of a game night when people didn't want to leave, but didn't want to necessarily break out something heavy. Social deduction games, specifically Resistance, Coup, and Werewolf, are some of the games that I love what they did in that genre. I know Werewolf is old and goes back all the way before it was called Werewolf, when it was called Mafia, and was just kind of like this thing that you use with a regular deck of cards. But I love all the things that happen in these games where if you have a group that really gets into it, then it gets, the conversation becomes the game. The game just kind of sits there while people battle it out, trying to figure out who's lying and who's telling the truth. It's just such a cool experience, especially with the right group. And I'm so thankful for the intense, the chaotic, the very heated arguments that came out of this game. And not only the arguments, but then the crazy reveals and finding out who was right and who was wrong. And I really appreciate these games and I love these games. And I'm glad that they continue. We don't play them quite as much as I would like all the time, but it is always a fun time whenever we bring out a social deduction game. The next gateway game that I'm thankful for is Lords of Waterdeep. I think part of it had to do with the timing. I had just gotten into D&D. I was already into the board gaming hobby at that point, and to have something merge the two of them together was awesome. It was also one of the first worker placements that I had played, and so getting to learn about that mechanic was really cool as well. And I liked that the quests and things like that like told a small story. So you've got all these different elements, so easy to teach and easy to play. And I'm just really thankful for the mechanics and the theme that was put together in this game. I would highly recommend it. It still stands up as a really good game. I would definitely recommend adding the expansion, Scoundrels of Skullport. And yeah, I think it's a really good game. And I really, really enjoy that one. Next up is a combo pick. Ian introduced me to Seven Wonders. It's a card drafting game. It's all about building up your kingdom. And I think that's cool. Like, I really enjoy Seven Wonders a lot. I think for the simplicity of it, I enjoy Sushi Go, which has similar drafting mechanics in it. It has really cute art and really draws in a lot of people. Sushi Go has been a part of a lot of game nights that I've run, and it's so quick and it's easy, and everyone's always talking about the art and talking about the different combinations that they're putting together. And I think it goes quicker than Seven Wonders, so you're in and out and not feeling like you have to sit around for too long. Seven Wonders is also quick, don't get me wrong, but both games are great. I love them both. I think they're both great gateway games for teaching the card drafting mechanic, all while giving you a full experience in what the theme is for each of those. Next up on my list is another one of Anna's favorites for a very long time, and that is Takenoko. As we talked about, I'm a very competitive person. I can get kind of into it when it comes to playing games, wanting to win. And Takenoko was the very beginning of teaching me the balance of competitiveness with Zen. Now, I don't want to lie to you. Takenoko is a game that has many mechanics that they're all simple mechanics, but it's definitely, there's a competitive aspect to this game. But the game is all about taking care of this panda, and you want to have a very chill and zen atmosphere as you take care of this panda. And yes, it is competitive. I know it sounds like it should be a cooperative game, but it is not. And it can be very infuriating at times. But like I said, it was the beginning of our Zen experience where I've learned to balance the experience with the competitiveness. And so I am very thankful for Takenoko. My next gateway game, I love a good 30-second sales pitch. And when I explain Hanabi, I explain all the mechanics and then end with, oh, and by the way, this is how you hold your hand. For those of you that don't know, when you hold a hand of Hanabi cards, you hold them in such a way where you can see everybody else's hand except for your own. And you're limited in your communication to be able to tell other people about their cards, and they've got to tell you about your cards, and you got to work together to solve the puzzle. I love Hanabi. Hanabi is like For Sale in that it fits in that quick game. It's probably 20 to 30 minutes if everyone's clicking along. Sometimes, though, it really stresses people out, and it can take a little bit longer. But I've played this game at 2, at 3, at 4, and at 5, and I've almost always had amazing experiences. I don't know, I can count on my hand like one or two people that have not enjoyed Hanabi. And I am just so thankful for a fun, unique mechanic. Hanabi came out in that golden age of new games where all these new mechanics and innovations in that field were coming out. And so having something like that was really cool. And I am just so thankful that Hanabi was part of what sparked all that innovation. This next one, it's weird. I explain how to play this game to people, and they all look at me like I'm an idiot. And like, there's no way that this is going to be a game. And I shrug and I'm like, I know. Everybody else is giving me the same look. But just give me one round. It only takes a minute. And then you'll be hooked. The Mind. The Mind is such an interesting game. I fought against playing The Mind for like a year. I was in the same camp. I heard about it. I listened to how you play this game, and I'm just like, what is this? What are we even doing? But then I decided to try it out. I was blown away. It is very addicting. It's very simple. Everyone has dealt, so there's multiple levels that you go through, but everybody starts at level 1. And so you get the number of cards that is based on your level. So in a level one round, everyone gets one card, right? And the deck is cards. There's 100 cards, and there's, you know, each card is numbered 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 100. And so the idea is that you are going to, with your group, it's cooperative, you're going to stack the cards in the center of the table in number order. So I might have like a 3, and you might have a 17, and Ian might have a 54, and Anna has a 77, and I don't know, whoever else has joined us at the table, you, the listener, has joined us at the table. If I haven't used you already, I probably have, has an 88, okay? Now, of course, none of us know what we have because it's in our hand, and showing would be cheating. And it does sound like it'd be pretty easy to just put numbers in the center of the table, except you can't talk and you can't really gesture and you can't do all these things. And you got to get in the mind of other people and figure out when it's your turn to go. And I know right now you're listening as you recover from the wreck that you had earlier when I mentioned the M word. And you're like, what is this guy talking about? And I get it. I agree. It sounds weird. What are you supposed to do? But it works. It works. And it's so fun. And I'm so thankful for, again, just the crazy games that have come out of the mind. It has drawn in so many people, gamers and non-gamers alike. And it has created some amazing stories and some amazing moments. It fits its own little world, and I'm really thankful for it. So as we wrap up this list, I just want to mention two newer gateway games. And I think one is, it's iffy if it's actually a gateway game. It's kind of on the cusp. But because of its fame and the way that it's reached so many different people, I feel like it has to be in this category. Wingspan and Point Salad are two examples of newer gateway games that are all part of the continuation in this hobby of saying, we're going to be making these games that are going to get new people into the hobby. We're going to create this easy outlet to allow people to get in comfortably. I love that. I love the welcoming nature of this hobby. I'm so thankful for it because there's so many times that I would have walked away if not for that welcoming nature. Both of these games are incredible. We have reviewed Wingspan. It was our second ever reviewed game, so please go back and check that out. I can only imagine the quality of that content, but I still invite you to check it out anyways. Point Salad is just a quick little game about building a salad. It's my favorite interaction with vegetables that I ever have, and it's a quick card game, super easy to pick up, super easy to play. I think it's so fun. And it's sneaky fun. Like, if I told you we were going to build a salad with cards, I would think I was crazy. But it does such a great job of putting together a fun game. And I think one of my favorite experiences is when I had a just tomato salad with one carrot. And I'm like, this is a great salad. I'd eat this. And my wife made fun of me because she does a much better job of eating vegetables than I do. So I'm really thankful for this hobby. I'm really thankful for the way that it has so many different unique experiences. That's why I talk about it. I want to be able to do what a lot of these games do in bringing new people into the hobby, showing them the joy and the love and the frustration and the anger and the competitiveness and all the things that come with this hobby. I want to introduce that. And I want to introduce that competitive spirit in me, but also introduce people to having a great time. And I just get a great joy out of it. So I just thought we'd try this different format. I don't know if I like it better than focusing on one game, but, you know, really thankful for all of you listeners. I can't say that enough. If you're listening to this point, I cannot fully and truly express my gratitude for the way that you've supported me and Ian and my family as we've gone on this journey. We're roughly 70 episodes in, and I'm not interested in stopping. I've got lots of ideas for where to take the game table, whether it be more content in the podcast form or other avenues as well. and I want to see that come to life. And I'm so thankful that you're along the journey with me. So I hope you have a wonderful holiday. If you're not celebrating a holiday, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And looking forward to next week and what's to come. All right. So with all that said, thank you again. We'll keep saying thank you because it means the world. Whether it's just one of you, 10 of you, 1,000 of you, whatever, it will always mean the world to us that you listen. I don't even want to do the whole rollout of all the different stuff, how you can contact us. Links are in the description. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for the cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music. Join us next week. We have a very special two-top episode. Josh Taylor, my good friend, is back on the episode, and he and his wife, Kelly Taylor, are doing the two-top review. So please tune in for that. I am very excited for it. In the meantime, as you eat your turkey and drink your gravy, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.